Lasso tang, tango tosa di kia gokudo. Chiranso traba yujere te, traba tela mona kake kia nutene, yapo le lava chagre. Temena, jisu kia te, traba kapsu kia gova chayugre. Yeah.
So first, I will give a little bit of explanation. I know you all probably have questions, but first I will explain a little bit, because if I postpone it till later, then the explanation will fall during the question period, and that won't be so good. So first I will give some explanations.
Namja chui domsek tangpo shege maare. Tene namja rangke gare. Namja layang, namja tangpo, ngobo tang jo, dreba tang, le nyampo shege gare. Tene rao, shechur te, tes devu yo maare. Tenin doting di kek mare, jeje kena, tuan tu te jis le lau cakri sama yuk.
So what we will be looking at first this morning, we looked at the three different reasons, and the next section of the text deals with the 10 presentations. And I will not be explaining the summary verse of those, which is verse 29. It's sort of like a table of contents for what's going to come if you want to look at it on your own. But I will be explaining the presentation themselves. And then also, later, the essential characteristics and the cause are explained together, as well as the result and the function. These two are explained together. And this is a little bit sort of inconvenient to have them together like that. So it's the brief explanation of them that presents them together. So I will skip over that, and I will go into the individual detailed explanations of them. So that's as much to say that we won't be going straight through the text. We'll be skipping through certain parts of it, but you have it there to read.
Tanam yachu nan en tangbo ngobu nambar yagbane thotang yin do major tang lembo ngobu rang yin ser Tanam yachu nan en tangbo ngobu nambar yagbane Totan yin to majur tang Lembong uvuran yin sir Dada novuran yin ka Chu yin ting chun tun yin song paren.
So we start with verse 31, which is describes the essential characteristics of what is to be purified. There are two explanations of what is to be purified and what purifies. So that's this first category of essential characteristics. It has these two divisions. So we're looking at the more detailed explanation of the first of those divisions, the what is to be purified. And verse 31 says, powerful, not changing into something else, a nature that is essentially moistening. These attributes correspond to the qualities of a precious gem, space, and water.
Dande kapsu chukate chukai yinjin no rumbu chetan chun tsungba an tumba tang. De yinjin namkata chun tumba tang. Re te chotama tang. Chu lenba tang jatsi tsungba.
And these correspond then in the following way. The Dharmakaya relates to the precious gem. The Tathagatagarbha relates to space, and the potential relates to clear or to clear and moistening water.
Tatajurko nandin dervadantam tatajurkure. Chukun chuchin. Novar rambu che dang. Chun tum tum bam. Sumba yinde. Sambe tum tam che ye yin dun ruba la sope. Totan dembese.
So one can put this into the form of a reasoning that is based on the commentary by Jamgon Kontro Lodru Taye. And the subject of the reasoning is the Dharmakaya. And what's posited about it, the hypothesis, is that it is similar to a precious gem. And why is that? Because it, like the precious gem, it has the power to fulfill all the wishes that might arise in one's mind.
Norba yendo gundo tamche ye yendo nyong rang dang yin yin tun yin ge tun yin droba am yong me sen na norba da chu zong ba
no bu dang chu
chun chong ban ra ba chun chong se den ra ba
ba wa
chong ban ra ba chong ban ra ba chun ban
Should the catcher trouble call you? Well, catcher trouble.
My thing, rabbit, and rabbit, the two songs.
Should the catcher trouble call you? Well,
bit and tony draw. Bitty yan and bitty don't and drag over the
one.
Bit only drag over the telechun songs.
That's all. So the Then to look at how the example fit with the object to which it applies. So the precious gem then has the power to fulfill all the wishes and desires of sentient beings. It is like a rain. It falls, all these wishes, the fulfillment of all these wishes and desires falls down upon one like rain. And similarly, when the Dharmakaya becomes manifest, then, like a precious gem, it is able to fulfill the wishes of oneself and others.
The yin yi chuching nam ka tang chun chun ba yin de rava yin de ne kap tam che to rang yin yin to mjur ba se ne kap tam che to rang yin yin to mjur ba ten se ke the yin yi nam ka tang chun ba song ba ten se nye ba de
These three examples are further explanations of the first three reasonings that we looked at this morning. So The first one dealt with the perfect Buddhakaya, and here that becomes the Dharmakaya. And the second one, I made a mistake, it's not the Tathagatagarbha, but the suchness that is like space. So suchness cannot be differentiated with the second reason. And the third reason is that all sentient beings have the potential. So these are related respectively. So the second one then, dealing with suchness, which, as we saw, was like space. And if one puts that in the form of a reasoning, one can say, given suchness, it resembles space. And the reason is that throughout all the various situations, its nature does not change into anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come to the third one. The reason was all sentient beings have the potential. So this third one deals with the potential, which is the subject of the reasoning. So given the potential, it is like the qualities of water. And the reason is that it pervades all sentient beings with the moisture of compassion. So that is its essential nature, is that with compassion, all sentient beings are pervaded. In ordinary life, water is extremely important for flowers, for trees, for sentient beings. If they lack water, then they dry up and die, or they don't grow or flourish. And so, and if they do have water, then they develop and grow. And so it's the same for the body of sentient beings. Sentient beings also depend upon and need water.
Ningi samuyere, ningi samuyere sena, ningi gomnatine, ningi imprevatan, se meba, sanjeji, ningi part of vetabare.
Within the nature of the mind, the Tathagatagarbha, there is the seed of compassion. And that seed of compassion then can increase until it is limitless, and that is the compassion of the Buddha. So it increases from this just being a seed to this vast quality that is the compassion of the
Buddha. This is a Ningi Lindajeva.
One talks about compassion that is moistening, and this has a sense of being able to nurture life. And this applies to the activated potential. If compassion arises, then this activated potential is present, and one enters into the Mahayana family. So if one looks at these three, the Dharmakaya from another perspective, one can say that the Dharmakaya represents the radiant clarity aspect of the mind, the radiant and clear aspect of the mind. The fact that the mind is radiant clarity, and in the nature of the mind is radiant clarity and emptiness inseparable. The suchness here, being like space, is then compared to emptiness or the dharmata. And The potential then applies to this aspect of the rikti gyekyo ki rikrabu, sungsong wala. Then the potential here refers to the activated potential.
Tanda te chunten som jaya te chuko te yinye rege sosu che chepar je che chu jugo ni jaya ware.
Naso?
Rere la che chu rere dowa.
Naso? So one presents this then in three different aspects as the Dharmakaya, the suchness and the potential, to show the particular attributes of each one.
Then the chukko te yinyi regdang som de jin chenyin kare, somka somkan chenyiyam, tumongan chenyin kare, tumongan chenyin le tsamne, hye na, ten to tama mi chen, mowo la ten to tama mi chen, yinyi teme de manyongba, yeda kada re, tangbu ni takpa yin kare. This is na, ten to tama mi chen, rangyin chi yonsa, nyangin le, rangyin chi yonsa takpa yin ba ser, yang, norbo, namka, chu somka, tumong to jerta bare.
What is the general characteristic that applies to all three, the Dharmakaya, suchness, and the potential? And that is that they have never been stained. Their essential nature is totally free of stain. They are primordially pure from beyond the beginning. They are by nature pure. And one can say this then about a gem and about space and also about water.
Chukko te yinyi rekdang som chuchin. Yin jin norba tan namka tan chuto takpa somka tan tumba yindi yini ngu yini nambar ta jing. Tima loburwa yinbisa.
So this can be put in the form of a reasoning. And the subject of the reasoning is the Dharmakaya, suchness, and the potential. And what one says about it is that they resemble, in respective order, the wish-fulfilling gem, space, and pure water. And there are two reasons given. The first is that their essential nature is primordially completely pure. And secondly, the stains that cover it over are
incidental.
And because all three have a nature that is totally free of any flaw, they are said to be primordially pure or primordially liberated.
Tene chama lower bare, chama namka, tenge japa, cho nyoka, seti ya nang yere, moa rangin le chama me bare.
And the stains, the incidental stains, are said to resemble clouds in space, the sediment in water, and the ore around gold or a precious metal. So the stains themselves have no essence.
Ti da sem jinelo chuka te yin ye re som je ngo la tama ma ba tama ran yin je ma ro pa tem ba.
So in relationship to the nature of the mind, the Dharmakaya and suchness, it is shown that they have no stain within their essential nature, which means that there is no inherent nature within these stains. So of these 10 presentations, the first one about the essential characteristics, what is it that it teaches or what is it that it shows? Two main things, that the nature of the mind, radiant clarity, the Tathagata Garbha, the essential nature of the has never been stained. It is primordially pure. And secondly, that the stains covering it over are not inherently existent.
Lower the Tama, Yin Satan, then the Sangibar.
So if you know this way of explaining things, then you can also apply it to Buddhahood, attaining of enlightenment. Because what happens in Buddhahood is that when these incidental stains have been completely purified away, then awakening is present. And that's because these stains have no essence. And since the stains are without essence and the essential nature of mind is without stains, when these stains return to into their ground, are released into their ground, then enlightenment is present. And so these stains come from no place else but the nature, but the mind, and they therefore do not go any place else but back into the ground from which they arose. So that's then an explanation of the first of the 10. And the second one is the cause. And this, what kind of a cause is it? It's a cause that purifies away or clears away the incidental stains. And in order to do that then, one first needs to recognize, to be able to identify what is contrary to the nature of the mind, or what is the what is not harmonious, literally. And so the 32nd and the 33rd verses, the last one on the first page, last section on the first page, describes this, and it says, hostility towards the Dharma, the view of an existent self, fear of samsara suffering, and neglecting to benefit sentient beings, are the four kinds of obscurations for those with great desire, for the Tirthikas, Shravakas, and Pratyeka Buddhas. The cause that purifies these is the four qualities of the path, sincere aspiration, and so forth.
Chula Kongrova, Chula Magava, the Chin Sigitima, the Kepatere, Rick Yanani, the Kepatere. ཁོ་བ་མེ་ཡོ་པ་ཏ་བ་སེམ་བུ་ལེང་ཏ་བ་དུག་དོར་ཅེ་ཆང་ཏ་བ་ཏ་ཡེ་ཏ་བ་ཏ་ཅིང་ཇོ་ཨ་ཏེ་ནི་ཉིན་དུ་པ་ཏ་ཆེམ་ཅིན་ཏོང་ལ་ཏོ་པ་མེ་པ་རང་ཟོང་སེ་ཅེ་དེ་དང་དང་རང་སང་ཅེ་ཉིན་ཅེ་མེ་པེ་དེ་ནི་ཡེན་དོང་མ་དོ་པ་ཡེན་དོང་ལ་ཏོ་པ་མེ་པ་རང་ཟོང་ནམ་ཅེ་དེབ་ནམ་ཅེ་དེབ་ན་བ་ཡེ་རེ་ཡ་
Obscurations that are described in the first verse relate to the four types of individuals in the second verse. So hostility towards the Dharma, not liking the Dharma, aversion to the Dharma, that relates then to those with great desire. And it also applies to those of the cut-off family, where the potential has not arisen at all. The second one, the view of an existent self, relates to the Tirthikas, the non-Buddhists, which are usually Hindus, and they assert or claim that a self exists. The third, fear of samsara suffering, relates to the Shravakas. They look at samsara and they see a huge blazing fire, an island of cannibals or a pit of snakes, and so seeing that they become dissatisfied, wish to turn away from samsara. So this fear of samsara sufferings applies to them. And the fourth one, neglecting to benefit sentient beings or disregarding sentient beings, that then refers to the Pratyeka Buddhists who have very little compassion or no compassion and do not look to benefit sentient beings. So these then are the four obscurations and the four types of individuals to which they apply.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཁྱི 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 ཁྱ la gawa ranjar je sem ta yete tene debare debate jango.
So the four obscurations then to be purified, cleared away, are those who relate to those with great desire, and they have a great attachment to the various pleasures of this life, to beautiful forms and pleasant sounds and all of this. And due to this great attachment to this life, they have an aversion for Dharma. So that's the first obscuration. And the second one, the view of an existent self, the Shravakas believe in a self that is permanent, autonomous, and independent. So that is another obscuration. The third one is belongs to fear of samsara's suffering, means that one looks at samsara as something faulty, and therefore wishes to cast it off, push it far away from oneself. And that applies to the Shravakas, and that's the third obscuration. And the fourth one belongs to the Pratyeka Buddhas, And they do not think at all about benefiting beings, but prefer to go off on their own to a solitary place. So that's the fourth kind of obscuration.
Nintu tardong khova la chu na khova pangre heaven thala longre raja tad ni ji mena tene jindo dugmare tese na tikin tikwa chembu lola sanje je koma dubake
de. These are all obstacles to attaining Mahayana enlightenment or Buddhahood. And how is that? Well, the first one is actually the worst of all four, because through a tremendous attachment to all the pleasures of this life, one doesn't even think about Dharma. One never even enters into the Dharma path. One is so concerned with all these wonderful things. So that's the greatest obstacle, because one never even enters the path of Dharma. Having a view of an existent self is also, of course, contrary to the teachings of the lack of a self in the person and phenomena. And so with this kind of view, it's not possible to attain enlightenment. And thirdly, being afraid of samsara and giving it up, one falls then into the extreme of peace or tranquility, or being tranquilized. And so one also, this is also an obstacle. And fourthly, neglecting to benefit sentient beings, one is devoid of compassion, and therefore one doesn't benefit other sentient beings, and this too then is an obstacle to attaining awakening.
So then the
last two lines say the cause that purifies these is the four qualities of the path, sincere aspiration, and so forth. And this is a brief explanation, and we will look at the more extensive one, so this doesn't need explanation right now. So we come then to verse number 34 in the top of the next page, which is the division that says how to become heirs of the victorious one through using a remedy. And the verse says, those whose seed is aspiration for the supreme vehicle, whose mother is prajna, giving rise to the Buddha's qualities, whose abode is the blissful womb of meditative stability, and whose nanny is compassion, are the heirs born to follow the powerful one.
Tene ngarji loso long kholu jurbe jarbo si jarbo chepar chingere, kholu jurbe jarbo se te chepar chingere chigere, kholu jurbe jarbo se kanda si chigere, te pe te jane chepar. Rawa.
So this example is based on the idea of the Chakravartin king, who is a special kind of being, and his offspring, his heirs, are also then considered very special. So this is instructions on how to give birth to this special kind of heir.
Kholu jarpu se jewa mthongwa la tangbu tene jarpu samungo gano. Kar chepi jarpu samungo gano. Yap jarpu samungo gano. Samung chikwen deke maare tene yom ama tsumo tamba ma yapu chiko gano. Sumo yapa sanji and the mare, not la chung yon, the chigamare, not jin ne yamba mapa, chung mapa, king mapa jigo. ngarje ne chung me ba yo na yang yang puge che cha du de ne puge la ta do se ne mama mama ya bo go do jar po da chung mo ga ta me ba re do de ne so chung se pe mama tun du mama ye dan jyo do de tun du la so ba che ba re mama ya bo go ye ba re de ta pe jan ne hi ba re
so the seed here then applies to the, first of all, the seed of the king, which is very important. And but that in itself is not enough. One needs a good mother for the child. And the mother's womb also then, the third part, has to be without any fault, without any obstacles. And then once the child is born, one needs someone to look after the child, to take care of it. Apparently the king and queen don't do this. So one needs a nanny to look after the child, child care.
Tena ta thikpa chenpu chula mepa, ne lok tokpa khera, tingin zi nyingji yedere, di jo yebo te, thikpa chenpu chula mepa te, sanji ji saun, kholu juru jarpo, sen thongwa la, Jarpi Savon Tantavare. Nailok to be here, and Tony to be here, and Sanje Chuchi Parasave, Kolu Jurjarje, Ama Tamba, Jumun Tambantavare. Then in Namkan's old loss of something did Deva Tim Parvarsepe, my ingar Jum Mapa, my ingar Jum Mapa, Nar Gakpa Mapa, Ravare. And then Ninja Chembo did.
The four qualities then that act, that are pointed to by these examples, are, which are the four remedies for the faults we looked at, are aspiration to the Mahayana Dharma, the first one, the prajna that realizes the nature of the mind, samadhi, and compassion. So these then again can be related to the four elements of this verse that we're looking at now. So the seed of the king then corresponds to aspiration for the Mahayana Dharma. The queen, the mother, who gives birth to all the Buddha's qualities, that is the prajna that realizes the nature of the mind. The womb, without fault or without obscuration, or refers to the samadhi or the meditative stability, such as the treasury of space and so forth, these various kinds of samadhi that provide a comfortable place to be. And the fourth one refers to taking care of, looking after, nurturing, and that's so that the body of the young child will grow well, and that is done then by the nanny, and that corresponds then to compassion.
Ninji yele jipa tene chuchin. Sanchuk samba, pakpa sanju samba, jarva se hisab, junsin yote, topa sanje jisu jihen. Tope chu, tamba sanje tambe chu, jetaba yin de zen nubese. Dong top se jete, jarpu kolu jurve se teke, kolu jurve jarpu. Kosan zain tobare, the dong sobs. College jaja song, no? Then you put in college jaja over.
Gosadzin tupi rabala.
Tupi re tupi. Mama jarpi se ke jarpo zo gogdwa.
Maula. Tani mama si jumsen di yanjo tupi sanje jesu ki.
Ah.
Jumsen sung sung wala.
Re, tupi sanje je, tupi sanje ngoyin la pet, di jesu mpapa sanje samba nam song de sanje je, tani teso yang jesu sanje gre.
Maula so.
Kholi jyoba seye te jisun kodjar chakre.
Oh, that's all.
Sanjyo sempa soye jisun sanjye chakre.
Oh, that's all.
Dekson?
Dekson. Then, given these four qualities as the subject, the aspiration to the Mahayana Dharma, the prajna that realizes emptiness, the samadhi that is a blissful or pleasant samadhi, and the compassion wishing to benefit beings. So given these four qualities, they give rise to the offspring of the Buddhas or the of the heir of the Chakravartin. It's the metaphor, one is a metaphor for the other. And why is that? Because just as the Chakravartin is the king that gives birth to his, is involved in giving birth to the son that will then take over for the king, in the same way, the Buddha has first the Muni, the Buddha has first become enlightened, and afterwards then his followers, the Bodhisattvas, they too then will later become enlightened.
Tekpa chenpi chula mpa ti dechen re kepa chula dame nyembor churpa yinpa kaan ye. Dame tokpa hirak te mtike dakte nyembo yinpa setan. Deva tan denpa tingin zin ta yepa te nyintu pa kovar chobe nyembo yinpa setan. Deva tan denpa tingin zin gomya yona tenin kovar la chogo maare nyintu pa. Chobe nyembo yinpa setan. Seva Ningi Chembo de Ranja Ranja Nam Ningi Mepa, same change the tone, Madrup and Nimbo Imbis.
So, given these four causes or four qualities, they can function as remedies for the four stains or the four obscurations. And why is that? And there are four reasons. One, aspiring to the Mahayana Dharma then functions as a remedy for those who are overcome with desire and dislike the Dharma. So that turns around their mind into the Dharma. And secondly, the prajna that realizes emptiness, that serves as a remedy for the tirtikas, those who think that there is an existent self, because the prajna is what realizes that there is no self in the person nor in phenomena. And thirdly, the samadhi that's involved, that is a blissful samadhi, is a remedy for the mistaken view of the shravakas, who see samsara as faulty and are fed up and weary of it all. And if they can learn how to remain in a blissful samadhi, that won't bother them. And finally, the fourth one, which relates to loving compassion and loving kindness and compassion, that functions as a remedy for the mistaken views of the Pratyeka Buddhas, who are without compassion and want to go off by themselves. themselves, and this way all compassion will be generated and they will wish to benefit sentient beings. So those, when one is practicing the Mahayana, then it is important to accomplish the benefit for oneself and for other beings. And if one listens and studies well this Dharma, then those who are caught within the great desire, all wrapped up in this, they will see the faults of this and they will move from being members of this cut-off family where their desire or to practice is not present or cut off, and enter into the Mahayana.
Tene matek pa da da tava nam nam che da yang tak pa da madro pe long da rakpa ta so ya po hi na dami to bi khira chon na tene dakta le to ndu gre dakta le to be se na ne kon so san chuk to pe tikin je la le chuk to gre
Then the second one, for the Tirthikas, or the generally the non-Buddhists who hold a view of the self, if they study well the various scriptures and the reasoning that show that the self does not truly or ultimately exist, they will develop their prajna that realizes emptiness, the fact that there is no self, and that will free them from this view of an existent self. And they will then be able to attain enlightenment and enter into the Mahayana path.
Then in Yintu Panamje, Koba Malaysia by Yin, the Tongaja and Yin, the Hit, Joa Namje, Tekwa Chimbu, Deva Tang, then Betting is in Lasso, but Ting is in Tayapa Gomso, Hill and Koba Le Jogamare, then Koba Pangamare. Koba Ned, didn't it? Tekwa Chimbu Lan and Song Koba Ned, the same Jinjitun Zotokar.
For the Shravakas who see samsara as nothing but suffering, as the very nature of suffering, and therefore get fed up with it, if they learn to practice a samadhi that is a blissful samadhi, and there are actually infinite numbers of samadhis that they can practice, then they will free themselves from this weariness of samsara and not wish to discard it, but become able to remain within samsara and benefit beings.
Then deva da dembe ting in den gomya yona ting in den sam gom yona ten korbe donga le choko gom do ga choko ma thang ji ma
If one knows well how to rest within the profound samadhi, such as a blissful samadhi and so forth, then one will not be weary of samsara suffering.
Tene te ten do rang sanje so nige me pe yendo madopa rang wen ba lagawa tsu la nige chem bu jele che na tene sen chen ji ton ro ba lagawa ye re rang che po wen ba la ne ba lagawa me ba
And then as far as the Pratyeka Buddhists go, who are lacking in compassion and do not benefit others and like to hang out by themselves, then they will develop compassion and will wish to benefit sentient beings and will no longer want to stay alone. So it's important to make a distinction here. It is the Pratyeka Buddha's mistaken path of wanting to stay alone out in the wilderness by oneself when one does not have compassion. One just likes to be in a peaceful place alone. Whereas if one goes to an isolated place to practice based on generating, based on bodhicitta and compassion, then that's a different story. If one has no compassion and one has a mind that wants to stay alone out in the wilderness, then when one comes back down into the city from being in a space like that, one's mind will become very soon fed up with everything and very disturbed. Whereas if one stays in isolation due to a compassionate motivation, then when one comes back into civilization and one sees suffering sentient beings, there's a natural wish to help them when it's glad to be back in the city, because if you're practicing compassion, you need lots of sentient beings in order to be able to work your compassion. You know? So sentient beings, you're happy to see them. Usually the Mahayana path is taught as the inseparability of emptiness and compassion. And these four obscurations or four veils were taught in order to see what the faults would be when one is not on the path, to show what is the wrong, sort of the wrong way is. So today we finished the first two of the 10 different presentations. The first one was that of the essential characteristics, and they were given in terms or related to the three reasons, dealing with the Dharmakaya or the Buddhakaya, suchness, and the potential. And these were shown then to have an essential nature that is naturally pure. And then we looked at the cause, and the cause was shown to be that which purifies the four obscurations through the four qualities that they have. Or you could think of them as four different causes as well. So what we are doing here now, as we look at this text, we are looking at the extensive explanations And this is a much more comfortable, easy way of doing it. If we went through the text verse by verse or heading by heading, it gets overcomplicated. The headings, for example, the outlines give the essential characteristics and the cause are taught together, and then they're taught separately, and then one has also the result and the function that are taught together and separately, and then when one comes to the fifth of the 10 points, that's divided into three sections and so forth. So it gets quite complicated, so it's much easier just to go directly to the explanations, the detailed explanations of the various 10 points. And once you've heard the extensive explanation, for example, of the essential characteristics and the cause, then it's easier to go, you can go back to the summary, and it's easy for you to understand it. So it's doing two things at once.
Okay.
So tomorrow then we will look at the points dealing with the result and the function. Now, does anybody have questions?
Yeah.
Rinpoche, I have a question about what are people doing, like who aren't Buddhists and that seem to be happy in the world, or people who are non-Buddhists like Hindus or Christians, and they seem happy and it seems like that path is working for them. What are they doing with their suffering? How do they portray a happy face? If you're portraying it like this is the only real way to go.
The chuvuk chendo yorawala nangbe chugi dugnyo pandu se tago wiyome nangbe chugi shepa mambo yorawala gomo meba la soba tene chuvuk chendo tene yezu gichuru kasoba hindu gichuru konso yang dugnyo yorawala yin konso yang gemo gegire kipo dobo nesure tene konso dugnyo la kandu se tago yo.
So now what
we're looking at is a way of explaining that's based on the Mahayana teachings. And those teachings state, in particular from here in this text, that all sentient beings have Buddha nature. And when they can come into contact with the Mahayana Dharma, Mahayana teachings, then gradually, stage by stage, they will be able to attain awakening.
Somebody.
One can look at the various philosophical or religio-philosophical systems in three different ways. One is that one can make distinctions between what's a good system and what's a bad system, and one can reject what one thinks is bad and establish or set up what one thinks is good. And this is a way of looking that is in tune with the conceptualizing mind of ordinary sentient beings, which think in terms of this is good and that's bad and I want this and I don't want that and so forth. And with this kind of perspective then, a person who would be thinking like this would think, well, my tradition is a good one and it's great and the other ones are not very good and so forth. So that's the first way of doing things. And then the second way is thinking about the nature of these philosophical systems and seeing that they're basically inseparability of appearance and emptiness, that these systems are illusion-like. So that's another way of dealing with it. And a third way is to see that all phenomena are of an equal nature. So all these philosophical views have an equal nature. And that's true because samsara and nirvana, which include all possible phenomena, then are of an equal nature, and that then would include all the various systems of tenets or philosophical systems one could find. And this goes back then to a quote that from Jetsu Milarepa that we had before, which said,
So
if one realizes what is the essential nature of what is big or what is small, then one that is the supreme vehicle. And in Tibetan, the smaller vehicle, the lesser, the big and small usually refers to the lesser and the greater vehicle. And one can also apply this to philosophical schools or religio-philosophical schools, and one can say, well, if one realizes ultimately what is large and what is small, then that is realizing the supreme tenet or the supreme philosophical system. It's important to come to understand and realize the equal nature of the various jhanas and the various systems of tenets. In the beginning, in harmony with the way new people think, then it's said that our system is good and the others are not so good and so forth. But then as one moves along, one comes to see that all of these arisings of thoughts and so forth are merely interdependently arisen, that they are just appearances. And finally, one comes to see the equal nature of them all. And if one knows then how to make these distinctions between the three stages, then entering into the various vehicles becomes profound. The positing of the various vehicles becomes profound.
No.
In the beginning, one sets up something and rejects something else. But ultimately, if there were this setting up and rejecting, which would mean like taking up something and discarding something, then one would never be able to realize the ultimate truth. One would never get beyond making these kinds of distinctions. It doesn't help also in the beginning to explain the concept of the equal nature of all things, because in the beginning one needs to see the particular attributes of one's own religious tradition so that one takes delight in it and feels good about it.
And
the divisions or the separations between these different vehicles is similar to the three stages of not recognizing that one is dreaming, recognizing that one is dreaming, and seeing the ultimate nature of that. So if two religious traditions are debating each other, then it's like not recognizing that one is dreaming, and so there will be rejection and setting up assertions and negations and all of that. Well, if one recognizes one is dreaming, then one sees that both of these traditions, whatever they might be, arise interdependently, and therefore they are mere appearance. And finally, one comes to see the equal nature of them all. So ultimately then, what one comes to realize is the equal nature of all of these vehicles, of all of these paths. And again, Milarepa's, Jetsun Milarepa's poem, that if you realize the nature of what is big and small, then know that to be the supreme vehicle. It's like that.
Are
there other questions?
Come on, John.
There's 15 minutes left.
Could Rinpoche please explain what freedom from elaboration really means?
ชุดันดรวาชุดันดรวาดิจิตินดะคันเตยวะเตตะสุนดรวาสิจิเตตวนตัมปะเนลุกเตยอปะมะเรยอปะลินเตอะนะเมปะเรเวเมปะลินเตงมุปุลินเตงมุมิลินเตเตเนเมปะทัมเจลินเตตุปะทัมเจลินเตปะตุปะทัมเจลินเตบะเสนะเตเนเซนจิยังมึกปะลินเตปะเตนดะวุนโคโก
In talking about the nature of the mind or ultimate genuine reality, then, well, someone might want to say, well, it exists, but actually it doesn't exist. And one might want to say, well, it doesn't exist, but actually the nature of the mind transcends that. Some might say, well, it's a thing, and others might say it's a non-thing, but the nature of the mind transcends these kinds of assertions that you might make about it. It's actually beyond all kinds of reference points. So it's beyond all kinds of fabrications, of mental elaborations, of conceptual complications that one might want to pin on it. It's beyond anything that can be observed by the mind. There is no place where the attention can be directed to. There is no point of reference. And a way of saying that, then, is that the mind is free. Another way of saying that is that the mind is free of fabrication.
Je n'ai pas.
There's a verse from Shantideva's Bodhicharyavatara, and where he says, when, and that refers to when one has brought to perfection or completed analyzing with prajna for the empty nature of mind, one transcends, things and non-things do not remain within the mind. At that time, there are no other images. Without any object of focus, there is complete peace. So, one, in analyzing for the ultimate, for a genuine reality, one might think, oh well, it is a thing. And so then one looks at it, one observes it as that way, or one might think it's a non-thing, and then one tries to see it like that. Or one might think it is a mere emptiness, and one would observe it to be that. Or one might think it's an existent something, and one would see it like that, take it to be that. Or Or one might think of it as non-existent and take it to be that. So all these kinds of conjectures that one puts forth when one's trying to figure out what ultimate reality or emptiness is, those are all considered mental fabrications or elaborations, and they don't exist within the very nature, within that which is the true nature of the mind. It is beyond all of this kind of mental activity. There is no object for the mind, and therefore all the delusions have been completely pacified. And likewise, since we are belong to the Kagyu lineage here, then we should look at what Milarepa has to say about this, not only Shantideva. And there is a song of his called The 27 Kinds of Disillusion. And at the end it said, when one is looking into the nature of things, one should look beyond the mind, or in a way that transcends mind. And so looking here, when one is looking at phenomena, one is looking with the prajna, the prajna that realizes or that can see of ultimate reality. And that transcends mind, so one has to look in a way that transcends mind. And transcending mind and being free of mental elaborations mean the same thing. Freedom from, sometimes it's called mental constructs or mental fabrications, elaborations, complexities. That is the same meaning as transcending mind.
Tena lo si jite dekap namdo re namdo gende dang thamje le de go do so bare lo len de pa namdo gutre pa len de go do so bare.
So here of mind, transcending mind means concepts, the conceptualizing mind, and one needs then to move beyond any way of grasping things
through concepts.
And there's another quote from Shantideva, from the Bodhicharyavatara, the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, where it says the genuine reality is not the sphere of experience of the intellect or conceptualizing mind. So here it's said that ultimate or genuine reality transcends conceptualizing mind, and it's the same meaning as we saw in the song of Milarepa.
If
one wants to understand this view of freedom from fabrication, then the prasangika, the consequentialist school, is the most profound. They speak in very detailed terms about freedom from elaboration. And here in the Jhu Lama, We were just looking at the three different reasons, the related to the Dharmakaya, suchness, and the potential, and it's the second one relating to suchness, where one would apply most clearly this term of freedom from elaboration. So when one is speaking about suchness free of mental elaborations, this relates to the second turning of the wheel of Dharma. That's where it's explained in the most clear way. And when one speaks of the Dharmakaya as being expanse and awareness inseparable, then that's what one finds here most clearly explained in the Jivlama. So putting these two together, one has the Rongtong and the Shentong view combined. So the questions today were very good because they were in harmony with what was taught.
Tamba Gunyi Dobarajo, Munjur Limbo, Kuye Trashi, Yena Dubjo, Songke Trashi, Tada Chime, Tokje Trashi, Jarve Kusong Tokje Trashi, Nendere Nimode, Sendele, Nime Konyan Dele, Nimsen Tato Dele, Kuncho Songje Trashi.